When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm going to try to be a little brave today and do something a little bit outside my comfort zone. And I'm going to... No, I'm not going to be more candid. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm going to just treat this one as a journal microcast where I just document a few of the things that I've been thinking about lately and not feel or try not to feel so beholden to coming up with a summary statement. And to that end, point one, something I've been thinking about a lot is I mentioned last episode and in multiple episodes of Thunder Punch Daily that I sort of feel like it's my job with this thing to make the content as useful as possible. And a way to ensure that is to try to come up with one observation from the course of the week and try to create a little mini essay summary based on that. I like thinking like a blog post, right? Like a good blog post. And most of the time when I do that, I'm going to say 90% of the time, not 100%, but 90% of the time, when I finish an episode, I feel pretty good about it. And that's one of the reasons I talk about enjoying this show so much. One, because it's like, this is the first time I've ever done an audio project that was all mine. And that feels good. That sense of ownership feels good. But also I feel like, wow, I took 15 minutes and I summarized a topic as best as I understand it today. I don't necessarily look in the mirror and cock my eyebrow and say, what a good boy are you? You're a genius or anything like that. But I feel pretty good about it usually. But then there becomes these little collections of tiny ideas that don't really merit a full-on, even 10-minute discourse. And what's more is I'm beginning to suspect, and this is where I get candid, I guess, is that I'm really not looking for any kind of validation or discussion on this topic. I'm just documenting this, okay? But I do suspect sometimes that I can be a little bit on the pedantic, obnoxious, professorial side. Rene made fun of me a while back on a past episode where he was like, yeah, thanks, Dad. Can I get off your lap now? Yeah, I know I can get like that. And really, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. It's one of my foibles, that for better or worse, you know, and it must not be too obnoxious of a foible because, I happen to have a wife and I have a few friends, so I must not be completely unbearable. But anyway, so, okay. Experiment. I'm going to document a few things that have been happening this week, just with a few thoughts on it, rather than trying to come up with one topic that I spend a good 10, 12 minutes on. Observation, driving to work the other day with Ann, and we were talking about preparing for SPX, it's less than a month now? No, it's just a little bit over a month. And I'm starting to get a little panicked about it, and also the up fair, you know, getting into the full swing of prepping for that event. And we were just talking about promoting ourselves and promoting the event. And the observation I made was, and this isn't, believe me, this is not a, I know that this isn't a new idea or a genius idea. It's just, it was one of those things where you say something aloud and you're like, yeah, really, that is true. I observed that it's so much easier for me to promote the up fair and really, you know, like with Kids Read Comics as well, is to really go out there and push it on the Twitters and on Facebook and whatever other news channels I have. You know, I'll talk for 10 minutes at the top of an art and story episode about Kids Read Comics or the up fair. And it's so much easier to do that than to talk about my own stuff. And it makes me wonder if there's a psychological trick we can play on ourselves to think of not of us promoting ourselves, but promoting somebody else like that. Because it's so easy to say, you know, oh, have you read my friend's work? It's awesome. It's so good. You should read my friend's work. We don't feel bad about that. We don't feel weird or uncomfortable about that. But of course, we all feel comfortable saying that about our own work, right? I wonder if there's a way we can flip a switch in our heads sometimes. That leads me to another observation, is that just a general kind of on the topic of self-promotion. Is And this is some Twitter stuff. I apologize for those of you who get sick of hearing me talk about Twitter. But I noticed that there's people on Twitter who, when they post their links to stuff, right? Because, like, you can use Twitter in a multiple ways. And, like, some people use it as a promotional news feed mechanism. I use it that way as well. And I like it for that reason. But I also like it for the conversational aspects. But I'll notice that some people just put, like, when they're posting a link to something new, they'll say, will you please look at this? Please, please, please. And I just think, like, I wonder how many people click on that. I've done a little bit of experimenting around with the way I post things to Twitter. And maybe this sounds a little bit manipulative. Maybe this sounds a little corporate and a little suit-like. But, you know, I'm mostly experimenting for the pure fun of it. Because, trust me, I do not make any money off of my Twitter links. this isn't some kind of, like, bait-and-switch thing that I'm playing. It's just that I measure. I use, like, the Bitly tracking service for the links that I post. And I measure what links get clicked more than others based on the way I phrase the tweet to go along with it. So instead of saying just like, please go check out the new Art and Story or new Art and Story Extreme, I think about the Art and Story Extreme posts when I post them onto Twitter. And maybe this is, you know, I don't know if this is like showing the old man behind the curtain or if this is something that's like a no duh jurors moment, but I'm, again, just journaling this stuff. But I'll intentionally put kind of like suggestive and cryptic descriptions in for the tweets for Art and Story Extreme. And a few people have commented on that. It's like, oh, they really are evocative descriptions that always, invite prediction. What the heck does that mean? Are you really talking about boobs in this one or what? You know, and I don't use boobs, but I couldn't think of any offhand. And I think about that too, like when I post, sometimes, every once in a while, I post a link to a Thunder Punch Daily. Now, that's another thing, is I don't post a link to every Thunder Punch Daily I do, because I do think that it is a trifle on the obnoxious side to post links to content that people have to pay for. I'll do it every once in a while as like a gentle reminder. Yeah, there's this neat thing I'm doing called Thunder Punch Daily. You should check it out. But not every episode that goes up, just because I imagine people, at least I would get frustrated clicking a link going, oh, what's this? Oh, I got to pay for it. And I don't know who this guy is yet, you know, that kind of thing. It's one thing to ask your loyal constituency to pay for content, but it's another thing to like post links to paid content to the world at large and to a great number of people. But when I do post the Thunder Punch Daily links, another thing I've been experimenting with that is posting the post as a question. Is there such a good thing? Is there such a thing as a good story with ninjas in it? Really? Question mark. Here's the link, you know, sort of engage them in sort of a deciding, coming up with an answer for themselves when they click the link and then wanting to see what I had to say about it. And I noticed that when I do that, I get better link clicks, more click-throughs than when I just say Thunder Punch Daily is up. I'm talking about penciling. But the ones I get the biggest return on in terms of links is the daily sketches, and I know why. I mean, I don't do anything with the phrasing of those Twitter posts. I just post, you know, He-Man character, you know, so people want to see that. And it's, you know, it's natural. It's characters that we're all familiar with and we all love. But it's also a bittersweet thing, because you know that the majority of them are probably not clicking it because I drew it, but they're just clicking it because, oh, I want to see his take on He-Man. You know, they're there for He-Man first. So, but yeah, those are the ones that get the highest return on, is when I post fan art. But I do notice that I get a better return on links, on click-throughs on Twitter and Facebook when I post things as either a question or with a slightly evocative phrasing to sort of activate the imagination. But when I just post Art and Story number 123 is up, we're talking about this, we don't get as many click-throughs with that. So something to think about in terms of marketing and promoting yourself. The last thing I got on my list for today of general wonderings and general things going on in my life is I'm preparing for SPX, which I've never gone to. I've heard wonderful things about this event. I'm crossing my fingers, but I am remaining cautiously optimistic because my convention experiences have been hit or miss. I'm at least looking forward to it for the social aspect. I mean, Casey Van Heist is going to be there. Tracy Williams is going to be there. I'm going to be there with Sarah Turner, Knife Man, cricket-press.com. So that's going to be fun no matter what. But, you know, it would be nice to go to a convention and actually walk away with, you know, making a decent amount of money. Although, you know what? I can't complain about it. No matter what happens, I really am not in any position to complain about this event because our table was paid for by a listener. So, I should just treat it as a vacation. I'm there on somebody else's dime. And if I don't have a good show in terms of selling books, then I should just keep my big fat mouth shut. I have no right to complain about that. But anyway, but I have to stock the table. And I need to, you know, start crunching my mind on what the heck I should put on my table. And we've done this. We did like an episode of Art and Story a while back called, what was it? It was like the big convention field guide or something like that. And in that, we talked a lot about what we keep on the table. But this year, I also have to think about promoting the upfair. So I have to make what I don't like to make to put on the table, and that's postcards. And I'll tell you why I don't really care for postcards. One, because it looks like a throwaway item. I mean, you can dress up a postcard. You can do a screen printed postcard, which feels like an art print, but even then, at that point, you should charge for it. Or you can make it into like a page of, or like a couple collections of strips. Some people do that. People do strip comics. And then it's something that like, oh, I might want to keep this. This is funny. Put it on the fridge and whatever. But for the most part, I find that people treat any kind of single piece of cardstock, unless it's a business card, they treat it like a throwaway item. And in the case of Upfair, that's fine because we're just trying to get the word out and we're trying to get people aware of it, get the name recognition going on where people know upfair.org and whatnot. But it also, this is just in my personal experience, the more free stuff you have on your table, the less chance you have of actually making a sale in my experience. It just turns into a what's free, what's free, what's free. On the part of the attendee, or you know, they'll start fingering through the postcards, and I'll say, "Well, those are free. You know, you can go ahead and help yourself." And then they don't pick them up at all, and it's almost as if they're disappointed to find out that that's free, even if it looks great. So I've noticed that I tend to have a lot of borderline negative experiences with convention attendees by having postcards on the table. Now, if it's something people interact with, that's a different thing altogether. And I may have already talked about this in the past Art and Story, but it's worth repeating. When I had coloring pages on the table for Sugary Cereals, so I'd have like a, you know, there's just like the line art from one of the pages of the comics or like a pinup or something, and it says in colorful letters, Sugary Cereals coloring page. Then it became something that the kids wanted to interact with, and sometimes the kids would stay at the table and just start coloring the page right there, and they'd show me what they're doing, and then plus that invites the opportunity to have a teachable moment where, I did one where it was a couple characters with empty word balloons, and I was like, well, what do you think this character's saying? And they write the words. I'm like, well, what makes you say that they said that, you know? And then you get this cool little interaction with the kids. The parents are suddenly kind of happy because the kids are having a good experience at the show, and then they don't buy anything. No, sometimes they do. But anyway, I'm gonna have to put postcards on the table. Business cards are important, and I gotta order some of those. But I think I'm gonna just do coloring pages, business cards, and postcards for the free things this year. I don't want to inundate my table with too much free stuff. And what's more is I also don't want to have too much clutter on the table. I you know, this is another thing that I've been thinking about a lot, in the back of the mind, haven't been really terribly, haven't been formulating a theory about it, and that's why it's getting collected in this journal one. This journal, Thunder Punch Daily, that is that I'm beginning to think that negative space actually counts at a convention. When you go to conventions, art fairs, etc., you see these tables that are just loaded up with stuff. And we've talked in the past about the idea of verticality mattering at shows, meaning putting your stuff up in the air on vertical stands to reduce table clutter. But I see so many people just loading up their table and just like completely covering it with stuff. And I'll tell you, even as a guy who has, I think, I like to think, a highly developed visual awareness, I just get lost with that much stuff on the table. So I'm trying to think about how can I get the maximum amount of stuff on there while still having a balance of negative space. This is art discussion, right? This is the same way that you balance an image. I think we have to balance our table space too. So I don't want to put too much out there. I'm going to put maybe the front and the replacements out there. And then the postcards, coloring pages, and maybe a few business cards. Well, and I guess I got to get some buttons too. But I'm really beginning to think, and I'm going to play with this at SPX. Maybe I'll do like a different thing on each day to see, like, okay, I'll do a more cluttered or more filled up space on one day and a more pared back space on another day and see how it goes. And that's one more thing is that I'm looking forward to about this event is that now, unlike past events from years past, this will be one of the first ones I go to, like a real convention, where I can actually broadcast from the whole thing. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to be doing audio booths like crazy. And maybe even some Thunder Punch dailies, because now I can actually do the entire show from my phone like I'm doing right now. Okay, wow. Is this one really going on for 15 minutes? Holy crap. Okay, well, I guess, I'm sorry, but I thought this one was going to be like 7 minutes with just like a few quick little thoughts, but I guess I can't help but pontificate, huh? Well, that said, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. And if you enjoyed this journal-style version, let me know. If you didn't, let me know. You can use the forums to also give us critiques and input on this stuff. I personally feel a special responsibility to you guys as support, as people who provide material support for what we do. So my ears are open, and I do not attach my ego in any undue way to this material. I'm ready to hear input on this stuff. So don't hesitate to let me know. And that said, the forums, that's a part of your subscription to Art and Story Supreme. And if you haven't availed yourselves of them, please do. There's some neat discussion going on in there. And then the other microcasts, Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast. And I will get out of here fast because this one's gone on long. So until next time, everybody, remember.
I hope you enjoyed today's adventure. You know, television is not the only way to be entertained by an exciting story. There is another way. It's called reading. And one of the wonderful things about books is that they allow you to choose whatever kind of adventure you like. A trip with an astronaut, an adventure with the great detective Sherlock Holmes, a comedy, anything. You can find it in a book at your school or neighborhood library. Why, I'll bet there are even some good books right in your own home, just waiting to be read.